Okay, Chevra, you could see the screen. We are learning Maseches Sota. If you remember, the Mishnah that we learned last week involved mats. The question as to whether you can use a mat for Schach, which we pointed out is obviously a contemporary question. And the Gemara effectively, the Mishnah has a Machlokes Hatanoim about the use of mats. And it's a machlokes in the Gemara, what the machlokes hatanoyim is. And the conclusion of the Gemara on Chof Amud Aleph that we did last week is that the machlokes relates to a large mat. The machlokes hatanoyim relates to a large mat. In other words, according to the Tanna Kamma, a large mat is definitely okay. Large mats are not the types of things that people sleep on, so a large mat is definitely going to be not mekabel tuma. However, Rabbi Eliezer comes, and Rabbi Eliezer says, no, a large mat can also be a problem if it's meant l'shchiva, if it's meant to sleep, so it's going to be a problem. A small mat, according to the Gemara, is much more of a problem because the assumption is that a small mat is intended to be used to sleep. That's what we saw last time. And we also pointed out that the Mishnah Berurah comments that the definition of a small mat versus a large mat is that a small mat is a mat that is only the size of a person. It's effectively like a mattress, no? You have a mattress. People in their times used to sleep on beds of straw, beds of various and sundry materials. So if it's just a mattress, so then of course it is going to be mekabel tuma. That's the halacha. Turn around, Pona. Now the Gemara, I scrolled up, so it's the top line.
We're talking about this for Scott, right?
We're talking about for using it for schach, that's correct. Can you use the mat for a schach for the walls? It's
Didn't we
obviously.
say earlier that the skach has to be at least 4 amot?
No. Well, again, the schach, the sukkah has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim.
No, I'm saying because we had a situation where you had a board there, and then you had skach, and
Again, so you're talking about the halach of dofen akuma.
right,
If we have a crooked wall, right? So until 4 amos, I could have puzzle stuff to count as
that fit in with
a
what we're
wall.
talking about?
That, we're not talking about that anymore. And we
No,
have.
I understand that, but I'm saying, does it fit in with what we're talking about?
Does it what?
Fit in with what we're talking about?
Everything fits in somehow. It's all connected. All of Torah is like one large unit, but it's really not our conversation here.
All right,
Non-hostile.
I'll hold my question.
Tanya Rabbanan, let's learn from the top of the line. We're going to kind of better define the issue of mats. Machzel shoshifa v'shogemi. If I have a mat that is made out of shifa and gemi are soft materials. Gemi is basically a type of rubber. I'm not really sure what shifa is. Maybe some have a translation. But I have a mat that is made out of a soft material of shifa and gemi. If it's gedola misachachimba, kitana imisachachimba, a large mat you can use as schach. If it's a small mat, you cannot use it as schach. Right? The small mat that's made, let's say, out of rubber is definitely assumed to be bedding material. Right? That's the halacha. So I have a small rubber-made mat. Now, Gemi, when they talk about rubber, it's not talking about Goodyear rubber. Right? Their rubber is like from a rubber tree. It's a plant. So if they have a mat that's made out of a soft plant, so a small mat made from a soft material, a soft plant, is clearly going to be mekabel tuma because that's what people use to sleep on. However, if memet is, it's towards the top of the page that's showing, shel kanim v'shel chilas, if it is made out of reeds or chilas, so I tried to figure out what chilas is, and if I'm not mistaken, I looked in the art school, and the art school gave me the translation that chilas is chilas, which totally did not help me, but what can we do? So if the mat is made out of reeds or chilas, which are harder materials, so this word is a tricky word to pronounce. The standard pronunciation of this word, the way we'll learn the Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the word is gedula, not gedola. Gedola would mean big. Gedula means if it is braided. Gedula is if it is braided. In fact, in some of the manuscripts on the Gemara, in the Oz v'Hadar Shas, it points out that the term was gedela, not gedula. Right? Gedela means braided. So if I have material, the mat is made out of harder material. If it is gedula or gedela, if it is braided, then you can use it as chach. But if it is aruga, if it is woven, then you cannot use it as chach. Aruga imesachachem ba. Again, if I have a material that is braided, so it's not going to be comfortable to sleep on. Nachon? No, right? Braids like bump up and down. So if it bumps up and down, it won't be comfortable to sleep on. So therefore, if it's gedula, if it's braided, you can use it as chach because then it's not mekabel tuma. It's a hard thing that's going to be really uncomfortable to sleep on because it is braided, it's gedula, so you can't use it as chach. But if it is aruga, if it's woven, right, when you weave the kunim, it is more comfortable. It's like, I remember my grandmother, Lala Shalom, used to have chairs that were made out of like wicker chairs, no?
Yeah.
It's like woven type of kunim. It's like reeds that are woven together. It's not that uncomfortable if it's woven together. So therefore, you cannot use it as schach, because it is comfortable. If it's comfortable, it's assumed to be a bed. If it's a bed, it's mekabel tuma. You can't use it as chach. Rabbi Yishmael b'Reb Yosi omer mishum aviv. Rabbi Yishmael b'Reb Yosi says in the name of his father, achas zu, ve'achas zu misachachim ba. Whether it is woven or braided, you can use it as chach. Apparently, Rabbi Yosi felt that even if it is woven, it is not the item that is intended, that is usually used as bedding. Right? So when we had the discussion in our Mishnah about kunim, about machzelis, about mats, according to Reb Yossi, if the mat is made out of reeds, it is going to be kosher eschach, because that, even if it's small, people will not use it as bedding. Right? Comments, shochilas, right? Toysus says that our discussion is bikatana mairi. We're talking about a small mat that is made out of reeds. So the Tanakhama says there's a difference if it is braided versus if it's woven. That if it is woven, it is going to be mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yossi, however, says even if it's woven, it's not mekabel tuma, because people do not use that as bedding. V'chein hoya Reb Dosa omer kedvarav. Reb Dosa also said that if you have a mat of reeds, it is kosher as schach no matter what. A reed mat is kosher as schach because people do not use it as bedding. Tznan Hasan. We learned a Mishnah in Idios. Now, here's the thing. There are different types of tumah on this planet. There is a mace itself, the corpse is aviyavos ha-tumah. Stuff that comes in contact with the corpse is called an av ha-tumah. There are other forms of av ha-tumah as well. There's sheretz, shechvas zera. There are various things which are av ha-tumah. And there's also a zav and a zava, right? There are also these individuals who have a who basically their body gives off something. The Ramban understands it's something that represents disease. We pointed out that zav might be gonorrhea. So the halacha is that you're tameh, and not only are you tameh, but your tumah has a way of conveying tumah more than other things, which is that your tumah conveys through tumas midras. A zav is metame midras, meaning what the zav steps on also becomes tame. So the Mishnah in Idyos teaches me, kol ha-chutzalos metamen tame meis. Chutzalos sounds like some sort of mat, although we'll have to define it more precisely. So all chutzalos become tame meis according to Abdosa. Bachachomim omrim midras. Chachamim say that chutzalos have midras. So the Gemara jumps up and down and says, midras in, tame meis lo, v'nantz nan, kome tame midras, mitame, tame meis. The Gemara says, what? What are you telling me? Chachamim, it's only mitame midras? That's not true. We have a rule that whatever is mitame midras is also mitame tame meis. Anything that is mitame midras, by definition, can become tamei meis. Tamei meis extends to more things in the planet than anything else. If you look at Rashi over here, I'll just scroll. The Rashi is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines into the wide lines. But it's not called metamei midras, metamei tamei meis. Rashi writes, v'hu hadin, excuse me, l'chol hatumos, k'go nogea b'sheret, u b'nevela. Anything that becomes tame through sheretz, nevela, etc. Right? It's meaning anything that's metame midras becomes tame with everything. V'haydenaka tame meis mishun de ba'av hatuma mayri. V'hachi ka'amar kohan na'asa av hatuma ayde midras na'asa av hatuma kishahu tame meis de'en lucha mitame midras ela hamiyuchad l'shechiva. V'kema de shavila tashmish Kelihu, because you kelim the midras mitame bekol tuma afil pshute kli eitz etc. Right, zakt Rashi azoi. To become tame midras, by definition, it has to be something that is miyuchad l'shchiva. Right, if a zav happens to sit on the basket does not become tame. A basket only becomes tame with yeshivas hazav if it's designated for the zav to sit on it. Therefore, anything that the zav is metame, the midras, has to by definition be miyuchad. It's designated for the zav. That means by definition it has some status of keli. If it has some status of keli by definition, therefore it will be susceptible to all of the forms of tuma. So when the Mishnah says that anything that's metame midras is also metame meis, it means anything that's metame midras is metame all sorts of tumah. That's the way Rashi learned. And Rashi basically tells us, it's like six lines on the bottom, that this is derived from a Kal v'chomer, Masechta Shabbos, Mapot b'meis minayin v'dinhu, etc. Meaning as a Kal v'chomer, that it is going to be tame. Effectively, once it's a keli, of course, it becomes tame. So anything that is tame midras is tame meis. There are certain things which are tame meis and are not tame midras. But if it's tame midras, it's by definition tame meis. So let's go back, right? We're learning this Mishnah. Tnan hasam. All chutzalos are tame meis, according to Rebbe Daisa. The Chachamim say they're tame midras. These chutzalos, whatever they are tame midras. The Gemara asks, midras in, tame meis, lo, but it's only tumas midras, no tumas meis. V'nantnan kolam etame midras, mitame tomei meis. But didn't we say that whatever has tumas midras also has tumas meis? So how can the Chachomim say only midras? It's not true. If there's midras, it has to be tumas meis as well. The great answer is ema af midras. Right? What the Chachomim are saying is that it's not only mitame tomei meis, it's also mitame tumas midras. So there's a machlokes here. The machlokes in the Mishnah is, according to Reb Dosa, chutzalos are only mitame tamei meis, but according to Chachamim, they are mitame tumas midras and tumas meis. So now the Gemara asks the $64,000 question, but after inflation, it's worth like a couple million dollars. So my chutzalos, the Gemara asks, what exactly are these chutzalos things? So Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri. Rav Abdimi Bahamduri says it is marzubli. Okay, everyone understands it's marzubli. So the Gemara asks the question you've been thinking about: my marzubli. What the heck is marzubli? So Amar Rav Abba mizabli. Right. So Rav Abba tells me that marzubli is mizabli. What exactly is mizabli? So if you look at Rashi, three lines on the bottom, Rashi says mizabli or bulas. Bulas basically means bags. The asui l'ro'el hanichan tachas rosho v'lishkav. It is made for a shepherd to put under his head and to lie down. Right? The story goes like this. If you're a shepherd, you also schlep stuff from one area to another area, right? You're going with your sheep. And you have a bag of your own stuff. At nighttime, when you're ready to go to bed, what you'll do is you'll put the bag under your head, and you'll put the bag under your head, and you go to sleep. Elon, could I just ask you to send the link again? Tamsin just asked. Just sent an email where the link is, and somehow my I'd have to log out, and you know, let me.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you. So the Gemara basically says we have these things. The Mishnah in Idios tells us that chutzalos, according to the Reb Doisa, is only tamei meis. So Chachamim say it's both tamei midras and tamei meis. So I'm going to ask, what exactly are these chutzalos, what are they? So the Gemara says it is mazabli, which we now know are baskets or bags that shepherds carry with them. And the shepherd puts the bag under his or her head at night when they have to go to sleep. So the thing about the mazabli or the marzubli is it is midras, but not really midras, right? Midras is something that's used to sleep on, to sit on, to walk on. This is something that is used sometimes, right? That's what the mizabli is. It's sometimes used. It's not often used. So that's the machlokes. According to the Chachomim, it's mitame tumas midras as well, even though it's sometimes used. The question is like this. In order to have Tumas Midras, it has to be Miyuchad. That is something that's designated. Is this called designated? It's primarily, it's primarily intended to be a bag that you carry. Sometimes at night, they put it down under their head. So that's the question. So the Chachomim say that these bags have Tumas Midras. But according to the Rabbi Dosa, there is no Tumas Midras on these bags. So that's one version of the Gemara. Remember, the Mishnah says that these things called Chotzalos, according to the first opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Dosa, is not Tomei Midras, right? If a zav, this individual with that bodily emission, stands on it, sleeps on it, doesn't become tamei. But according to the Chachamim, it does become tamei midras. And version one of the Gemara is that chutzalos are things which are bags, but are sometimes used as a pillow. The shepherd will use it as a pillow at night occasionally. That's version one on the Gemara. Version two is Reish Lakish. If you note from the, I just scrolled up, Reishim ben Lakish Omer, Machtzalos Mamish. Reish Lakish says it's an actual mat, meaning there is a dispute in the Mishnah, according to Reish Lakish, that's very relevant to our Mishnah over here. The dispute is whether mats are mekabel tuma in the sense of, is a mat something that cannot be used for schach? If it's susceptible to tuma, it can't be used for schach. That's what the Gemara says. Reish Lakish amar, it's machzalos mamish. V'azda Reish Lakish l'tameh. Reish Lakish is consistent in his reasoning. Ga'amar Reish Lakish. Harini kaparas rebchiya ubanov. Reish Lakish says, I am the kapara, I am the atonement of rebchiya and his sons. Shebetchila kishenishtakha Torah mi Yisrael, Ola Ezra mi Babel v'yista. Originally, Torah was forgotten. Ezra came up from Babel and Ezra reestablished the Torah. Chazer v'neshtakha, Torah is forgotten again. Ala Hillel HaBavli v'yista. Hillel HaBavli came and established Torah. Chazra v'neshtakha, Torah is forgotten again. Ali Reb Chiya Bonav v'yista. Reb Chiya and his sons came and they reestablished the Torah. V'chein Om Reb Chiya Bonav v'lnechleku Reb Dosev HaChachamim. I'm just going to read a little bit more of the Gemara, then we'll come back to explain it. And Reb Chiya says that there's no dispute about the machzalos, about these mats in Usha. There's no dispute about these mats in Usha that are shehin tameos. The mats in Usha are definitely tamei. Vishel Tiveria, the mats in Tiveria are definitely tahar. Alma nechliku, asha armakomos. Right, Reb Chiya is saying that the dispute is about every other place. Mar Sabar, Kevan Deleka de Yasib Alayhu, Kedetver Yadamyon. One opinion is that people don't sit on it, therefore it's like Tveria stuff, Tveria mats, which are Tahar. Umar Sabar, Kevan de Mikri de Yasib Alayhu, Kedet Usha Damyon. Others say since people occasionally sit on it, it's like the Usha mats, which are Tame. Kama, period. So let's go back. Let's go back in this Gemara. Effectively, what we saw in the Gemara is the Mishnah tells me these things called chotzalos. There is one opinion that chotzalos are not tame. They are tame mace, but they are not tame midras. The first opinion in interpreting what chotzalos are is that chotzalos are things that shepherds put under their head occasionally. Consequently, dispute about whether they have this type of tuma called midras, the type of tuma that when a zav steps on it, a zav sits on it, becomes tameh, is whether something that a zav occasionally sits on, whether that becomes tameh. That's one version. Version number two in the Gemara is similar, but version number two in the Gemara says, we're not talking about a bag that the shepherd carries, but we're talking about a mat, a plain, ordinary mat. And consequently, according to version two in the Gemara, there is a dispute about whether mats are tamei or not tamei. And the issue is very similar to what we said before. The issue is whether it's something that's mikre v'yasev, something that people occasionally sit on, whether that is tamei. That's what the Gemara says. Grand, right? Now let's just talk about a few side things that come up in this Gemara. Right? Reish Lakish says, the Amar Reish Lakish, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom. Right? I just scrolled up so that you could see it. Reish Lakish says, Hareini kaparat Reb Chiya ubanav. Reish Lakish says, I am an atonement for Reb Chiya and his sons. What does that mean? I'm an atonement for Reb Chiya and his sons. So what this probably means is as follows. And Rashi comments, Hareini kaparas, three lines on the bottom. Yisurin habo'in alai lekaparaso shel Reb Chiya ubanav yiyu. The yisurin, whatever pain I suffer, should be the atonement for Reb Chiya and his sons. And it's a lashon kavod hu. Kishu mazger avivo rabo la'acham yisaso tzarech leimer kein. It's a lashon of kavod that when you mention your Rebbe after the Rebbe died, right, you mention your father after the father died, you don't say zecher l'vracha, you say hareini kaparas mishkavo. That I atone for his mishkav where he's lying, etc. A child, a student, is hareini kaparas mishkavo, atones for the Rebbe or for the parent. What's interesting is like this. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch that this halacha, right, people often don't do this halacha. Oftentimes when people are in avelos, they just speak about my father, my mother, etc. Technically speaking, you're supposed to say hareini kaparas mishkavo. But this idea of saying hareini kaparas mishkavo, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is only the first year. Reish Lakish is talking about Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya we'll speak about in a moment. Reb Chiya is like the last of the Tanoim. Reish Lakish is a generation and a half after him. He's been dead for a while, presumably. Even so, Reish Lakish is saying, Hareini kaparas Reb Chiya ubanov. Meaning, and some of the poskim say that this is exactly what the Gemara means, that there is a hider, there's a preference that a child or a student should always say Hareini kaparas mishkavo about the parent or the Rebbe. That the halacha is not only in the first year of Avelos, the halacha is forever. That there's a hider, it's a preference to always say Hareini kaparas mishkavo when an individual refers to the parent. It's interesting that when a person writes a sefer during the year that the parent passes away, so the psak in Shulchan Aruch is also, you should write Hareini kaparas mishkavo. However, when you look in the Shach in Yerideya, like in Simon Aleph or something, the Shach in a number of places quotes his father. Shach's father was a big Talmud Chacham. He was a chavrus of the Avodas HaGirshuni. The Shach quotes Chuvis from his father, and the Shach has a sefer called Gevuras Anoshim, going through all the issues in Yerideya, Kufn, and Dawid. Shach quotes much from his father. So in Simon Aleph of Yerideya, the Shach quotes from his father. The Shach writes, my father, Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Throughout the rest of Shulchan Aruch, where the Shach quotes his father, he does not say Hareini kaparas mishkavo, probably because the assumption is that it's enough to say it the first time. To say it in the sense of when you're writing a book, to write it the first time suffices. You don't have to do it every time. Again, my inclination is, although I haven't looked into this carefully or thought about it so deeply, my inclination is that if you assume that there's a hider, if you assume there's a preference to always say Hareini kaparas mishkavo, then probably when you write a text also, there would be some hider to always say Hareini, to always write Hareini kaparas mishkavo, that each time the individual refers to his parent, his Rebbe, the individual should say Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Again, I don't think this has been heard of in Judaism. Okay, so basically Reish Lakish says, I'm talking about regular mats, and he writes, I am a kapara for Reb Chiya. But Reb Chiya is the third in the list. He has three people that when Torah was forgotten, so Ezra came up and Ezra reminded people of Torah. When Torah is forgotten, Hillel arrived and Hillel reminded people of Torah. And then when Torah is forgotten, Reb Chiya arrived, Reb Chiya reminded people of Torah. The Aruch Lanera comments that there are really three different historical periods, three different epochs in the world of halacha and Torah that these represent. Ezra is Malachi, no? Chazal say that the last Novi is Ezra. So Ezra is bringing Torah back at the end of Tekufas HaNeviim, when prophecy is ending. Ezra is coming on the scene and he is restoring Torah. He's saying, Torah will not be forgotten. I will come, I will teach the Torah. Hillel is also at the end of an epoch in halachic history. You know, the Mishnayos in Avos tell us that initially, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, there are two students and the Mekabel from this student. And at the beginning of halachic history, there was no such thing as machlokes. Machlokes didn't exist. Machlokes began after the period of Hillel and Shammai. That's when machlokes began. Right? The Gemara in Chagiga tells us, like, the initial machlokes was about, like, smicha and the behema and yontiv, something like that. So Hillel is bringing Torah back at a time that the Kabbalah is ending. Kabbalah not in the sense of heebie-jeebie, but Kabbalah in the sense of students receiving a tradition from their Rebbe without any dispute. That is what Hillel represented. At that time period in history, Hillel restores Torah. It's interesting that this is actually very relevant for this year. Yetzir Shem should still be relevant for this year. The Mishnayos, the Gemara in Psachim, talk about whether Korban Pesach, on this year, Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos. Erev Pesach Chalios B'Shabbos means the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos. That means Bizman HaMikdash, the 14th of Nisan, when they would bring the Korban Pesach, was on Shabbos. And the B'nai B'Seira, the Gemara tells us, forgot whether Pesach is Deicha Shabbos or not. It doesn't happen that often, no? Right? Every time Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, you know, the rabbi has to give a Shabbos HaGadol drasha about eating on plastic dishes and whether you use egg matzah or challah and, like, what do you do on Friday? What do you do on Shabbos? All the rules, they were forgotten. And the B'nai B'Seira forgot the rules about whether Korban Pesach is Deicha Shabbos. Then Ariel Mibavel, Hillel comes from Bavel. And Hillel says, Hillel is a student of Shmaya Naftalion, and Hillel comes up and he says, oh no, Korban Pesach is Deicha Shabbos. So at that time period, when the Kabbalah is ending, when the tradition of Torah handed down from Rebbe to student, without any disputes is ending, so that's when Hillel comes onto the scene and he returns the Torah. So we have Ezra and Hillel, who are in these two important epochs. Reb Chiya is also an important epoch. Reb Chiya is one of the two authors of the Tosefta. Remember, Reb Yehuda HaNossi is the redactor of Mishnayos. Redactor Mishnayos means he went around the world, he collected all the notes that every student took when his Rebbe gave Shiur, and he put them together to create a book called Mishnayos. But there are certain Mishnayos or certain notes that he did not include in his collection. Certain notes were not included. Those notes were collected by Reb Chiya, Reb Oshia, etc., and they became the Tosefta. So at this moment that they're beginning to collect Mishnayos, or collect notes to make them into Mishnayos, so then Reb Chiya comes up, and Reb Chiya prevents Torah from being forgotten. And what Reish Lakish is saying in our Gemara is that he is a kapara for Reb Chiya, because Reb Chiya said this halacha about, what's it called? Reb Chiya said this halacha about the mats, that if the mat is a mat of Usha, so everyone in Usha sits on it, therefore it's Tameh. If it's a mat in Tveria, no one sits on it, therefore it's Tahar. The Machlokes is in other places. Now, this Gemara, by the way, is very interesting, because this Gemara says that the issue with mats is really dependent on location, right? It's like the first rule and only rule in real estate, location, location, location. So the rule of math is based on location. Usha versus Tveria. The Mishnah that we learned on your Testament Beis sounded like the rule of math is based on what you built it for, what you made it for. Interestingly, when the Rush quotes this halacha of Matt, the Rush says it all depends on where you are. A rave of the people where you are, that determines the status of the Matt. That's what the Rush says. The Ramah paskins like the Rush. That's based on where you are, not based on the intention of the person who made it. This is very relevant today, no? Or let's ask the question a little differently. Let's say you have a mat that's made in the Far East, but it's intended to be shipped to Europe, North America, etc. People in the Far East are more likely, as far as I know, to sit on mats, to sleep on mats, than people in North America. If the Rush is correct, and the Ramah Paskin is like the Rush, that it depends on the place. Well, which place does it depend on? Does it depend on the place where it's made, or does it depend on the place where it's used? If you hold, like the simple reading of our Mishnah, that the halacha of mats, and whether it's for shechiva or for schach, depends on the intention of the person who made it. So obviously, if you have a mat that was made in the Far East, and the person who made it intended that it should be used to sleep on, it's a problem. However, if you hold that it's based on location, we can still question which location. Is it the location where it was made, or is it the location where it's going to be sold? So this issue is not at all clear in the Dir Shu Mishnah Brura's. It's like this new edition Mishnah Brura. It's like relatively popular today. They point out this is a machlokes between like Reb Nissen Karelitz and Rebbe Yashiv about the mats. That's a big issue, no? Again, most of the mats that we have are not made in the Far East, etc. But if they would be, one could argue, even if the mat is made in the Far East, and even if in the Far East, the majority of people sit on mats and sleep on mats, etc., but that doesn't matter for me. Because I look at the majority of the location, and the majority of the location is in North America, in Washington Heights. Most people don't sit or sleep on mats, and therefore it is going to not be a problem. Amar, let's go back to our conversation, right? From the line I just scrolled to the top of the Gemara. Amar, we previously learned. Kol achutz alos mitam in tamei meis. Divrei Reb Dosa. Right? Reb Dosa said that all the chutzalos, right? We mentioned what this is before. It's either these bags that the shepherds sometimes use as a pillow, or it's a mat. But chutzalos are tummy makes, according to Reb Dosa. But the Gemara is bound by a question. But Tanya, v'chein hayu Reb Dosa omer kidvarav. That Reb Dosa said that there's a difference with mats, that there is no difference between the braided mat and the woven mat. If the mat is made out of reeds, there's no difference braided and woven. In either instance, it's not makabel tumah. So I have a problem, right? We have this Mishnah Idyos that says that the mats are makabel tumah, but we said like half an hour ago that the same opinion, Rabbi Dosa, says that the mats are not makabel tumah. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, not a problem. It depends if there is a gedanfa. A gedanfa is basically a ledge. There has to be a better word than ledge. It's like it's something on the side of the mat. A gedanfa makes it into a keli. It's like a ledge or gedanfa, right? Rashi says ke'en. It's a fourth line in Rashi, ke'en safa saviv gavoa ma'at. It's like a little edge that is a little bit up, and you can put stuff on it. And therefore, people put fruits on it, etc. So if there's a gedanfa, so then the mat is mekabel tuma. When Rabbi Dosa says in that Mishnah, the chutzalos are tame, what he means are the chutzalos that have a ledge on it. Then it is going to be tame. So Meisave, the Gemara has a question. Chutzalos shel shem v'shel gemi v'shel sak v'shel sapira are metame tumas meis. If I have chutzalos of shem and gemi, again, are soft materials like natural rubber. Sack is sackcloth. Sapira is when you cut off. Rashi writes, sapira is mimasha mistapir mitzavar hasus umiznavo. It is horse hair, no? When you cut, I think horse hair, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that like old chairs, old dining room chairs were sometimes stuffed in horse hair. Is that correct?
And yes.
It would provide a certain degree of firmness, but it would be long-lasting, etc. That's sapira. So if you have a mat that is made out of horse hair, so it's metame tamimes according to dosa. Bachachamim omim, it's even metame midras. Bishlama leman d'amar mar zubli. If you hold the chutzalos are mazubli, which we said means the bags that the shepherds put under their hair, if you say it's mazubli, so I understand shosham v'shel gemi are chazu lekinta depeira. If you have the mat or the marzubli of rubbery material, you can use it for kinta depeira, which are thick fruits, fat fruits that will not go through a hole. Shel sak v'shel sapira, the ones that are made of sackcloth and horsehair, achazu legulki vitsani. You can put certain thinner fruits into it. You can put kalem into it, etc. Kitnios, perostakin. Right? If you hold that the word in the Mishnah, the word chutzalos means these bags that people, that the shepherd puts under the hair, under the head. So I understand what it's usable for. Ella, leman d'amar, if it's chazeh gulka v'tzani, right, then it's usable for like, we said, kitnios, like beans, etc. Elamad om machzolos mamish. But if you hold that it's actual mats, remember, one opinion is that the word chutzalos means the bags. So I understand the question being that means bags. The bags are usable. If the bags are usable for stuff, either bigger fruit or smaller fruit, so I understand why then it is able to receive tuma. But if you hold, right, Ella Lamanda Omar, Machtelos Mamish, right? I just, one second. Ella Lamanda Omar, Machtelos Mamish, right? It's at the top of where I scrolled. If you hold its actual mats, it's not bags. So Bishlam, Mishal Sak, Bishal Sapira, Chaza, Leparsi, Vinaf Vasa. I understand that if it's a mat that is made out of sackcloth or it's made out of horsehair, you can use it as parsi vinaf vasa. You can use it as some sort of sifter. You can pour stuff through the horsehair and it will sift it through. So I understand. Ela shosham v'shel gemi. But if it's made out of this rubber-like material, what can you do with it? Right? So the Gemara says like this. Remember, we have this mission says chutzalos. We have two explanations what chutzalos are. Either chutzalos are the bags or chutzalos are mats. Well, if it's a bag, I understand how a bag that is made out of horse hair and a bag that is made out of rubber, they're both tameh because they're usable for different stuff. But if you hold that it's a mat, if you hold that it's a mat, so I understand that the mat that's made out of horse hair can be used to sift stuff. But the mat that is made out of rubber, what can you do with that one? Ella, right? What are you going to do with the mat that is made out of rubber? Ella, show sham, show gemi, the question.
One quick question. So just because it's been used to sift something, how does that change its status in terms of tumma? Being able to sift something doesn't mean you can lie down on it.
No. So the idea is that we're talking about that it becomes a keli. And if it becomes a keli, then it's susceptible to all forms of tumma. Right? That's the idea that Rashi was mentioning earlier. We had tumma midrash just as an example that whatever has the din of a keli, right, is susceptible to all forms of tumma.
But presumably, any mat, once you're going to lie down on it, it's susceptible to all forms of tumma, no?
But again, it's not once I lie down on it. It has to be something that's intended to be lied down on. And the machtzalos, if it's not intended to lie down on, it's not mekabel tumma. But we're saying that they are mekabel tumma. So why is it mekabel tumma? So it could be if it's made out of horsehair, it's mekabel tumma because you're using it to sift stuff. But if it's made out of rubber, why is it mekabel tumma then? Right? Apparently, no one sifts stuff through rubber. I guess Rubbermaid didn't exist. I don't know. My colanders are made out of rubber, but it's not real rubber. So that's what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara answers, Chazu l'nazi yasa. It's usable for nazi yasa. Rashi writes, nazi yasa means, look at the Rashi, it's like 5-6 lines before the end of the perek. Nazi yasa, according to Rashi, means to cover barrels when they make beer. The rubber mat could be a keli, because it is a beer-making cover. Now, Taisvis says, I don't think this makes any sense. If you look at this, there, the Tosas Chazion, the second one, Tosas says, Rashi says, it's Mekabel Tumma because you cover a barrel that you make beer in. Tosas says, V'yef shalom ha'ken, you can't say that. D'sham v'gemi lo Mekabel Tumma, elo mitaris kli eitz. Rubber in halacha, again, that we mean rubber from a rubber tree, is wood, right? It has the status of kli eitz. And kli eitz we equate to sack. And the halacha is that covers of pots or covers of whatever, wooden covers, are not mekabel tumma. So Tosfos is saying, my dear beloved Rashi, I love you. But like, what are you saying, Rashi? That it's mekabel tumma because you use it to cover the beer. But that's not true. Because a cover is not considered a kli. When you think about it, what's a vessel? The vessel is the thing that holds the beer. The thing that covers the beer, right? You could put a piece of saran wrap on it. That is what, right? That's not a kli. It doesn't become a kli that way. So Tosfos asks on Rashi.
Back in those days, they didn't have saran wrap.
They didn't have saran wrap back in those days. That's correct. But even so, the point I'm making from saran wrap is when to cover a barrel, you don't need to, you don't need a keli. You don't need something that's a vessel to cover a barrel. Again, how I define what a vessel is what all of Maseches Kelim is about.
Right.
But a pot cover is not necessarily a vessel. That's the point. So Rashi has his explanation that the rubber material counts as a pot cover. Tosfos says it's not true. Rather, Tosfos says that obviously over here it's talking about something that's asoy lekabel behen davar. It has to be something that's made to receive something. But Tosfos doesn't explain. Some of the later Sfarim point out that Tosfos, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it like this, but Tosfos perhaps didn't read Rashi precisely. Rashi is not talking about a barrel that holds beer. Rashi is talking about a barrel, l'chasot behen gigit she'osin ba shechar, a barrel that you make beer in. Again, it's a little bit too close to Pesach to try to make beer.
Right.
But actually, I got a shayla last week. Someone called me to say, ask a question that he has a lot of malt. He wants to know if malt is chametz. I'm like, yeah, malt is the real thing, right? Malt is like you take barley and it becomes malt. That's like one of the major ingredients of beer. Could be that what Rashi means is the barrel she'osin ba shechar, the barrel that you make beer in. I'm not an expert in beer making, but apparently you need a cover of the barrel that's not completely covered. You need some small escape holes for the beer to be properly made. So the Mefarshim say that maybe Rashi agrees that a regular pot cover is not Mekabel Tumah. That's just a cover. That's just a barrier. But if I have something that is specifically made to allow some stuff in and some stuff out, etc. So in that case, I will say, that type of cover is actually a kli. The cover for the barrel, that is the beer maker's barrel, that's a very specific, very defined thing. So that perhaps is Mekabel Tumah. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Right? So again, right, what the Gemara has a discussion is that we see this idea of chutzalos and the different materials that's made out of rubber versus horse hair, like they say. So Rabbi Dosa says it's tummy. The Chachomim say it's even tummy midras. The Gemara says, I understand if it is a basket, if it's So why, I understand then, why would the rubber become tameh? Because you can put stuff in it. But if you hold it's just a mat, why would it be tameh? So my answer is, it's tameh because it's made l'nazi yasa. What does made l'nazi yasa mean? So made l'nazi yasa means that it is a cover for, Rashi says, the barrel to make beer. And if it's the cover for the barrel to make beer, that answers Tysus's question. Tysus asks, one second, the cover for a barrel, right, is not Mekabel Tumah, but maybe what Rashi says is Chazon Naz Yosa is that it is the cover for a barrel that is used to make beer, and then it is Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara goes through the same thing again. Ika de Amri, another version. Bishlaman Dar Machzolos Mamish. I understand it mean. Actually, you know what? Okay, my hope is that God willing on Thursday we'll find a time. Rabbi Hoffman asked me to just set a time. I'd like to on Thursday morning just have a brief siyum on the first perek of Sukkah so that the Bechorim among us, the firstborns, are able to eat. So maybe we'll leave over these last like 8-10 lines in the Gemara for Thursday morning. I will email Rabbi Hoffman, God willing, later tonight to say the time. Hopefully, if anyone has a suggestion of what time is good, I'm fairly flexible. Like I mentioned to one or two of you, though, beforehand, my son is a Bechor, my son's a firstborn, so ideally I'd like him to be able to zoom in to the Siyum, so he could also eat on Tainis Bechorim, but I was thinking probably 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:15 in the morning, but yeah. I will confirm with Rabbi Hoffman later tonight. Does that time sound reasonable to all of you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, but we'll try. I'll confirm later. Okay, so any questions, comments?
Well, something different, not with the Gemara.
You know, so maybe you could stay on and maybe the others, or how about this, Lev? Let's end the shiur now and you'll email me or I'll Zoom you for the next question if you like, okay?
Yeah, I'll just email you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, everyone, have a Chai Kosher Sameach, a good Yontif. Obviously, next Sunday night, we're not learning, correct? Because it's Yontif. Mm-hmm. But the Sunday night afterwards, I believe, is after Sunday night afterwards. Is that Motzai Yontif? I think the last days are Shabbos and Sunday. So the Sunday after, I believe, is Motzai Yontif. So the expression.
Oh, Sunday is Sunday.
But Yontif is Shabbos Sunday, correct? The last days?
Yeah.
Right, so if the last days are Shabbos Sunday, so I think we'll miss the next 2 weeks just because Motzai Yontif, there's some expression that they call it Rumpelnacht or something, when you put all of your dishes back. It's one of the craziest nights in Judaism. So we're not going to have Shiur the next two Sundays. And we'll just try to regroup at some point on Thursday, if we can, for like a very brief see him on the first parak. Okay, Chavra, thank you for learning, and we'll pick up just where we are for like 5 minutes on Thursday at some point. Okay.
Chai Kasher Sameach.
Chai Kasher Sameach. Good Yontif.
If my father says he wants to come, how do I send him the app?
We'll
link.
We'll send the Zoom link. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All the best. All right.